Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to another episode of Discovering the Truth with Dan Duvall. I want to invite you to prepare yourself with questions, because today, which is a Monday, we are going to be diving back into a topic and with a guest that was quite fascinating. Which we began 2 weeks ago. We are praying, and we will be praying before we get started with the actual conversation, that this program goes much more smoothly. While you couldn't hear it on the archives, because I did some editing, the last time we did this program, we were met with a number of headaches. And so this week, we are praying to God for the power of heaven to maintain the audio and just the chemistry in general of this program, so it goes forward unhindered and unchecked by any outside force. Before we get started, I want to point listeners to the fact that we have a website for Bride Ministries. Yes, this is a ministry production, and our website is www.bridemovement.com. I'm your host, Daniel Duvall, and our website, you will find information about us, the ministry. You'll find links to my blog, archives of this program, other audio programs, and videos as well. So make sure you check it out. You'll also find links to my books, Noah's Ark and the End of Days, and Wounded by Leadership. Now, both of those books are available at my website, also at just about any other online book retailer. Noah's Ark and the End of Days, dealing with issues touching the last days, including things dealing with God's plans and purposes for his church in the last days, a subject that very few have touched. So make sure you check that out. Also, this broadcast is available at www.discoveringthetruthwithdanduvall.com, where it is simulcasted during our live airing. And so make sure you are aware of that. Our call-in number tonight is 718-766-4160. That's 718-766-4160. And I want to make sure that you have that. Also, during this program, I will be taking questions from live guests and live listeners through our ministry email, bridemovement@gmail.com. That's bridemovement@gmail.com. If you don't want to call in, you don't want to get in the chat room, but you are listening and you do have a question that you find relevant and that you really, really want answered, you can get a hold of me. I will have my email open and ready to look at during the program at bridemovement@gmail.com. This is a live call-in program tonight, folks, And the subject, assessing mind control. So before we bring on our guests, I am going to pray over this program, and then we're going to jump right in. Father, we come before you in prayer in the mighty name of Jesus. Lord, we plead the blood of Jesus over this program, as well as every eye, ear, and heart, Lord, that will be tuning in and listening to this program in Jesus' name. Father, there is protection from heaven. Lord, we thank you, Lord, that there is a disruption against every outside force, Lord, whether it is demonic, Lord, or electronic through different forms of wave-based technologies that will cause problems and interference in the name of Jesus. Father, we thank you, Lord, that you protect, provide, Lord, and that you allow this program to be shielded against all evil intentions, Lord, by the power of faith, Lord, by the shield of faith, and Lord, by your protective power. Lord, we thank you, Lord. We place this whole thing in the strong tower of the Lord, where the righteous, they run into it and they are safe. Father, we thank you for touching hearts and minds, Lord, that the hearts of listeners are prepared to receive the things that they are about to hear. Father, we thank you for deliverance going forth, faith going forth, confidence going forth. Father, for breakthrough as a result of this program in Jesus' name. And Lord, that the right people hear this program, and Lord, that it allows you to move in their lives the way you need to. Lord, we thank you and praise you in advance for what you're about to do in Jesus' name. Amen. Folks, we're going to bring up our guests. Our guest tonight to help us with this discussion on assessing mind control is Dr. Preston Bailey. His website, www.spiritualwarfarecenter.com. He is the author of the book Spiritual Warfare, and he has been with us a number of times. So without going any further, Dr. Bailey, it's such a joy to have you on the program again. How are you?
I'm fine. It's a pleasure to be on your show.
Doctor, last time we had you, we just dove right into this topic, and man, oh man, did we get into some deep things. And really, I kind of want to pick up where we left off, because there's so much to talk about on the issue of mind control. And in the first program, we really began by even just defining it. And we got into a lot of topics, among which you actually put forth some of the strategies that you use in your own counseling and ministry to help bring integration and restoration to people's lives. And so we have a lot of ground that we covered, and really great material, folks. If you didn't hear part one of Assessing Mind Control with Dr. Bailey, Q&A part one, please go to our archives after this program and listen to that. But now that we're moving into part two, we do have some questions, both that I have received either during or since the first program that we didn't have time to get to, as well as some of my own questions that I want to bring up and talk about. So we're going to be kind of hitting both, but I want to begin this episode, Doctor, by asking you a fairly straightforward question. When we get into the issue of mind control, we're really talking about the suppressing of memories, because this is essentially how a person can operate two separate personalities within the same body, have different experiences, and not be cognizant of that fact. There has to be a suppressing of memories. And what I want to ask you is, can you begin this program by explaining to us how memories are suppressed when a person has dissociative identity disorder?
Well, it's like this. Let's say, for example, you're 5 years old, and your father is beating on you, and you're 5 years old, and you're not going to be happy with somebody beating on you. So even at 5 years old, you know that if your father beats on you or yells at you, you cannot yell at him back or hit at him back.
Mm.
So you have no choice but to repress it. Repression simply comes from two words, to press and R-E means to do it over and over again. So you press your emotions down inside over and over again, and that is repression. At a certain stage, if the abuse is severe enough, then naturally a wall of amnesia surrounds the memory so that you do not consciously remember it.
Mm.
And there is even some secret organizations or cults that on purpose know how to create a wall of amnesia around the memories of a child, so they on purpose create them. But that's what repression of memories are. It is just like, for most people, if something was very traumatic or painful, you do not want to think about it, so you repress it out of your conscious memory.
Mm.
Let me give you a perfect example.
Okay.
One day, a 30-year-old man walked into a gas station. He was barefooted. He had no memory. So, the manager of the gas station asked him some questions. He said, "What is your name?" He says, "I don't remember." He said, "Do you remember anything?" He said, "No, I have no memory from my past at all." He didn't remember his phone number, his address, his name, or anything. He had no form of identification in his pocket. So he didn't know what to do, so he called the police. The police came and picked him up and took him to a psychiatric hospital. He was in this psychiatric hospital for months, and his condition was deteriorating. Finally, his mother reported him missing, and they connected that this was his mother. She came up to the hospital and identified him.
Mm-hmm.
So finally, after a month, she heard about me, and she took her son to me. And he came into my office. I wanted her to sit outside my office so as not to, if I ask her any questions, I didn't want to adulterate her answers, is what it's called. So we'll just call his name John.
Mm-hmm.
And John was a child, 7 years old. And I said, "John, I want you to, I pray that the Holy Spirit of Truth will help you to remember what happened to you."
Mm-hmm.
So John, a 7-year-old personality, said that an apple farmer down the street got the metal bands that holds the barrels of apples together, and they pushed the bands into the ground, one for each arm and one for each leg, so he couldn't get up, and the farmer molested him at 7 years of age.
Oh, gosh.
So then I went out and talked to the mother.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, "When he was 7 years old, did he live near any farmer?" She says, "Yes." I said, "What kind of farmer?" She said, "Down the street, there was an apple orchard." Now, that just, you know, validated
mm-hmm.
His memory. So, I went back in and talked to him, and I, you know, given the overview, I asked God would heal this 7-year-old of this abuse. And afterwards, I prayed that the memory that this 7-year-old would merge into him.
Mm-hmm.
And then I said, Lord, I pray that the real person, you'd bring them back to the surface. And his memory immediately returned. He remembered his name and everything.
Amazing.
And actually, this whole process only took about 10 minutes. And he'd been in a psychiatric hospital for 24 hours a day for 30 days.
Wow.
So the power of God is great. Jesus is the wonderful counselor and the great physician.
That's a great story, Doctor. And this is the next thing this kind of leads into, because I think a lot of people have been deceived here, and they've been told that if there is anything in a person's subconscious that is inaccessible to them. This is particularly true in cases where people believe they may have been an experiencer of an alien abduction or so forth, and say, well, you can't know what you went through unless you let someone hypnotize you. And there's a big belief in hypnotism throughout the psychiatric community, I think. At least that's what I've heard. Some people may believe that if they think, you know, I may be dissociative, or I have a background that's questionable. I have gaps where I can't remember what I did for a span of several years. Do you believe that hypnosis is the way to go, is a solution that God approves of, is something that you would trust?
Let me give a two-fold answer to that. First of all, I studied disassociation at Harvard Medical School. From some of the top experts on the brain, they said that in dealing with dissociation, you should not use hypnosis because of legal reasons, but also because it's not it's called adulterate the actual memories. Because many times in hypnosis, they use the strong power of suggestion, and that should be avoided. Secondly, I believe that most hypnosis is a type of occult activity and should be avoided, and it is against Scripture. The Bible says in Isaiah 26:3, "Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee because he trusts in thee." Now, what that means is we're not to ever as a Christian have a passive mind, which is necessary to be hypnotized. We are to keep our mind focused on the Lord Jesus Christ. I'll never forget a woman called me up, and she was very depressed. She came into my office. There's natural depression, and there's clinical depression, which is depression will last over 3 months. But then there is depression caused by demons. So I asked her to bring someone with her, so she brought her minister of music. She was in the Air Force. She had all these medals on her outfit. She was a lieutenant. She went to church Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, and to a ladies' Bible study on Thursday night. So she went to church more than 95% of all Christians. She read the Bible every day and prayed, so there was no doubt that she was a Christian. But when I said, by the blood of Jesus Christ, I bind any evil spirit in your spirit, soul, and body, I command any evil spirit to manifest and speak, and a deep man's voice came out of her, which was a demon. And to make a long story short, she had 13 demons.
Wow.
But the head demon, here's what he said. He said, I said, by the blood of Jesus Christ, how did you enter this woman? And the demon said, the pastor at the church on Sunday morning, Sid, put everything out of your mind and let the spirit come in. And the demon laughed in a mocking way and said, so I came in. And I held open the door to her mind and brought in 12 others.
Wow.
So that is one good reason not to be hypnotized, not to do yoga. Yoga has only one meaning. Yoga is a Hindu word. It
yep.
means to connect with one of the 220 million Hindu gods or goddesses. So actually, real yoga, they say, put everything out of your mind, and one of these demons, Hindu demons, are connected to the person. So to answer your question directly, should you be hypnotized? No, not under any circumstances, because it's unhealthy, it's against biblical commands, and it could open the doorway for demons, for evil.
That's so true. You know, emptying the mind is extremely, extremely dangerous. And we, you know, we had a great guest on a while back, and those that are listening, you can go and check our archives for it was called Unveiling or Behind the Veil of Kundalini Yoga. We did this program with Mike Shreve, and you know, he said the same things. Basically, you know, yoga, it means to yoke oneself to. I mean, that you are tying yourself to these things, and you know, it is a very dangerous practice to empty the mind or to give someone else control, suggestive capacities over your mind where your defense systems are down. I mean, so thank you, doctor, for clearing that up, because I think a lot of people, when we're talking about mind control, how do you break out? The deception is going to be out there, and I believe it is. Well, a possible solution is to go find someone to hypnotize you, and I just wanted to let it come out of your mouth. This is probably not a good idea. Okay, we have a couple of questions that came through, and I want to kind of jump into these before I go any further with my own, I guess it's good, agenda for the night. The first question actually came during our program last week, Doctor, but we didn't have any time to get to it. So thank you for sending this to us, listener. And the question is this. I work at a children's psychiatric hospital. I was wondering what are some of the telltale signs of mind control / ritual abuse in children and adolescents. We see many young children come in with a history of animal abuse. I would like to know what to look for and how to help victims of mind control and ritual abuse.
I used to be chairman of the governor's task force on child abuse, so I've dealt with numerous child abuse cases of course, it depends on the age of the child, but normally when a child is abused, their behavior changes. There is usually they have what's called night terrors.
Okay.
It is far more advanced of nightmares. And in their night terrors, oftentimes someone is chasing them, or they will see a goat's head of some kind, or they will see flashbacks of an altar, or others or themselves on the altar. Usually a young child in cult rituals are sexually abused.
Mm-hmm.
So what happens is the coven, which is 13, six male, six female, and a high priest or priestess. Now, it can be more than 13, but usually it's at least 13.
Okay.
They often will surround the person, the child, and they may walk around the child. So the child will have some kind of memories of this. They will often have memories of robes on with hoods, because this is not normal child abuse. Normal child abuse, they don't have memories of 13 or more people walking around them. Usually, child abuse or sexual abuse is one individual at
mm-hmm.
a time, and they want to keep it secret. But they will... It depends on the nature of the cult, but they will have sexual abuse from adults, and many times animal abuse.
Mm.
They will actually force the child to have sex with animals. It's really horrendous. It's bestiality. It's against the law in every state. That's some of the main things. Also, in the symptoms, and
mm-hmm.
I've seen this numerous times, tell the child to draw a picture using crayons of what happened to them or what they remember. And I will often see pictures they drew of people in robes walking around in a circle, or picture of a goat's head, or picture of red blood on the ground, things like that.
Wow.
They may even, this may sound strange to some of your listeners, but they will often draw a tree
mm-hmm.
and draw a picture of a child in a tree. Now,
interesting.
What that means is that is actually dissociation. That's a dissociative state.
Wow.
In which the child is usually laid on an altar of a pentagram.
Mm-hmm.
Five-pointed star or goat's head, and the abuse is so traumatic, the child dissociates, and they see themselves going into the tree, and that's why they draw that. It is just like this. It's just like
wow.
It is just like when people have surgery. At least 5% of the time. The patient during surgery, they were not given enough anesthesia. So they actually wake up during surgery. And, of course, they can't move or speak. And it is so traumatic for them, they have a similar out-of-body experience in the operating room.
Now, let me ask you this question. When they draw the picture, do they draw themselves in the tree or somewhere floating around the tree?
They would draw... They may refer to themselves in a third party.
Okay.
So they may say, this is someone I know that is in the... This is a kid in the tree. So they will... They're usually not detailed drawers, so they'll draw just some kid in the tree. You cannot differentiate that it's the person. But they just say... they'll say, this is someone I know, or this is part of me, or this is one of the kids in the tree.
Interesting.
So a good way to, one of the simplest ways to diagnose it is let them draw what's happened to them. And I've seen numerous child drawings through the year, and most of the time they're pretty consistent.
Wow.
They may draw the moon because they perform the rituals based on the moon, and also it is based on the satanic calendar, which called the unholy days of the year. In fact, I had a, and this is a big problem today, I had a private detective from one of the largest private detective agencies, and he said his client, the wife, had filed for divorce from her husband, and of course the courts ruled that the child has to switch back and forth every other week between the parents. But the father was a Satanist.
Oh, my gosh.
So when it was his turn on the weekend, he would take the child to satanic rituals, and he would be ritually abused. There's actually... I helped design the procedure for medical doctors in examining children who they thought were abused.
Mm.
There is most of the time actual physical symptoms, either for male or female, that the child has been sexually abused. So they're supposed to follow specific procedures, doctors, in examining the child at the hospital.
Okay.
So that is considered evidence in a court of law. So I told the detective, I gave him the satanic calendar, and I said, on these specific days, you need to follow him from a distance. And you can just follow him, and he'll take you to a ritual site.
Wow.
Just to show you how bad it is, a friend of mine runs a dissociative clinic, and one of his patients, this was just before Halloween, told about a major satanic ritual to occur on Halloween. So he hired two private detectives, and this patient told him the location, the exact location. So they went to the proposed ritual site. They dug two holes in the ground big enough for them to hide inside, and they had a net covering it so it wouldn't be detected. the next day, all of the regional Satanists came to this location. And one of the detectives went and took a video of all of the license plates of all the cars. The other one videotaped the big ritual around the fire. And they showed the satanic high priest put a goat's head on. They showed passing drugs around and other things. So they went back into their holes, and when the ritual was all over with and everybody left, they left and took the videotape to this director of a dissociative clinic. He looked at it, and all of the people in the video were actually recognizable.
Wow.
And the, because these were big political people, and the high priest with the goat's head was actually a United States senator.
Wow.
And the other people were actually leaders in different aspects of the government. He actually took it to the Justice Department, and they did absolutely nothing.
That's so sad. That is so sad. I had a caller. We skipped over your call. If you want to call back in, I will go ahead and take your call. I do apologize about that. Our guest was in the middle of a story. I wanted to make sure that he got through what he was just sharing. But if you want to go ahead and call back in now at this time, we can go ahead and take your call. But as you were saying, Doctor, I mean, that's just really interesting, especially about the whole tree thing, meaning dissociation. I find that absolutely fascinating. Also, just asking them to draw what happened to them in general and watching that, you know, some of this abuse memories will bleed through into their artwork. That really seems to be an excellent answer to the question. And so thank you for that. We had another question. Or was there anything else you wanted to add to that?
Let me also say this.
Okay.
The child will often complain of stomach aches. That's the anxiety. And they say, I don't want to go to school, my stomach hurts. You can tell whoever the abuser is, because as soon as that person walks in the room, they immediately get anxious. So as soon as an adult walks in a room, the parent needs to observe the child. And if the child starts to act nervous or backs up or something, also, there may be blood in the underwear of the child.
Mm.
Of course, if the child gets a sexually transmitted infection, that's not very obvious. Or if the behavior of the child or anything that they talk about is sexually inappropriate, because young children don't understand about sex. So if they talk about something that only a 15-year-old would talk about that's sexual, then something has happened.
Nice.
If there is a big change in the grades at school, oftentimes it's not uncommon for them to drop from A's to D's. The child may want to just isolate themselves and stay in their room all the time, or they may socially withdraw from other people, or they may have a big swing in emotional states. These are just some of the symptoms. By the way,
mm-hmm.
About 1 in 5 injuries in which a child is taken to the emergency room is non-accidental. The parents say it was an accident, but it wasn't. It was a non-accidental injury, in case any physicians are listening.
Wow. Well, thank you for that. I had another question here. This one is more on the technological side of the whole mind control dilemma. Now, folks, there are different elements to this mind control thing that go very deep. And so we're shamelessly going to go into some of these areas. And the main focus that we've really kind of hit on in the first program and, now this one has been trauma-based mind control through dissociation, where you're really using trauma to split personalities. And when you do that, you have certain issues that are associated with that. But there are other forms of mind control, wave-based or technological mind control being one of those, using high technology. And this is some of the newer stuff, and we haven't really gotten into this area yet, but there's plenty to be said. But this question comes from this side of the whole thing, even dealing with, technologies to use implants to sabotage people's lives. So this person said that they found implants, doctor. And I'm going to be vague here, but basically the question goes like this. I found implants, but I was adopted through a certain religious organization, so I think it was done to me at birth. They're in my ears, and I feel they were used to mind control me through my life. I am in the U.S. If you know anyone who might be able to help me get one removed so I can get at least a serial number or some relief from the voices coming through them, I would be appreciative. I am now what is commonly referred to as TI, or a targeted individual. So what do you have to say to this person, doctor?
First of all, that sounds like he or she is a targeted individual. What that means is a very powerful organization. We'll just call it a New World Order organization in the United States that has people that are leaders of the National Security Administration, or the Central Intelligence Agency, or other agencies, or high-ranking people in any of the military branches. That's a classic characteristic of what is called psychotronic weapons.
Yes.
Now, what psychotronic weapons is, they have developed computer programs that connect to satellites, and the satellite sends a signal, a electromagnetic signal, to a specific individual. Therefore, it's called a targeted individual.
Mm-hmm.
Now, these psychotronic weapons, that's what they're called, they are very advanced. So if anybody thinks what I'm about to say is made up from my imaginations, that's totally wrong. because what I'm talking about is actual right now.
Sure.
It is actual, real, scientifically. And let me just mention a few of them. There's many, but let me mention just a few. So they, what they do is they find out what's called the brain signature of a specific person.
Mm-hmm.
There's two parts of the body that is electrical in nature. That is the heart, and that is why if someone's heart stops beating, they get this machine with paddles, and they put it on the chest of the individual, and they shock the person, hoping that it will send an electrical signal to recharge their heart. That's why you call the paramedics who have this machine. But the other part of the human body that has an electrical charge is the brain.
Yes.
That brain wave signal, which is an electrical charge of the brain, is called to these people a brain signature. A brain signature is just like a fingerprint signature. That fingerprint signature is unique to one person.
Yes.
And the brainwave signature of anyone is unique to that person. The CIA in Denver has stored 100,000 brain signatures of Americans, which is one in three. There's many different ways that they can get that, but with just electronic devices. So they put this in a computer, and they put your brainwave signature, and then they put in one of numerous software programs, and let's just say they wanted to cause pain to a person. They will put this in a computer program. The computer program will send a signal to like an antenna. It goes up in the air to a satellite, and on Earth, it searches for that brainwave signature of that person. When it finds it, it will, if this is a pain-causing program, it will immediately connect to the brain of that targeted individual, and it will cause physical pain to that person. It can cause many different types of pain to any part of their body because nerves are connected to every part of the body.
Amen.
They even have what's called a Voice of God program.
Mm-hmm.
They could even, you could be standing next to this targeted individual, and they can send through this computer to the satellite to the individual, and it goes straight to their brain, and the person actually thinks they're hearing the voice of God, but it's from this programmer that's in this New World Order organization. Now, if anybody doubts this, in 2010, there is actually a man called Robert Duncan, Dr. Robert Duncan. And he created many of this technology and programs. And he wrote a book called Soul Catcher 2, Soul Catcher 2. And in it, he describes dozens and dozens of the many computer programs they use towards targeted individuals. And if a person reads this book, they will be shocked. Now, what Dr. Robert Duncan said in 2010 is he was sick and tired of how the CIA used what he designed, and that they used it for evil and harming people, that he quit the organization.
Wow.
It was very noble of him. And he wrote in detail.
And you know, you're absolutely right, because, Doctor, right in front of me right now, I actually have two books, and they were just happen to be sitting on my desk because I have a huge stack of books I haven't put back on my bookshelves. One of them, Project Soulcatcher Volume 2, and another one called Controlling the Human Mind by Dr. Nick Begich. And since you've been talking about it, I've actually pulled two quotes, one from each book. I'm going to read on the air because I think the discussion warrants the information, and we can come back to the second half of this guy's question afterwards, which is, what do I do? This what I'm about to read comes from Dr. Nick Begich's book, Controlling the Human Mind.
Yes.
Page 20. It says, radio and television waves are created by the production of pulsing electromagnetic charges, which each different station broadcasting on a specific frequency. This frequency is always the same and is where the radio or television station is on the dial. It is called the carrier wave. It is information transferred on a carrier wave that is translated by the electronics of a radio or television receiver as either sound or sound and picture. Over 100 years ago, Nikola Tesla discovered that a carrier wave could be used to carry other signals called signal waves. A signal wave is what actually delivers the electronic code that the electronic circuits sort out and deliver as the image or sound. When a signal wave is placed on a carrier wave, we get what is called modulation. Modulation can be thought of as a small pulsation that either affects the height of the wave, also known as amplitude, or affects the distance between pulses, represented as pulses per second or hertz, or what we call frequency. What makes radio and television work is the combination of the carrier wave with the signal wave. When these are received by radio or television set, the combined signal is sent through the electronics of the receiver and projected on the screen as an image or through a speaker as sound. The human body also translates external signals through its biocircuits in the same way. We can also think of the whole body as an organ, cell, molecule, element, or atom as a transducer, or converting energy with the receiving antenna, receiving energy tuned into the exact signal wave on a carrier wave. When receiving antenna picks up a signal of a broadcast station and the circuit is tuned to that signal, resonance occurs and the received signal is increased in signal strength through amplification by the electronic circuit. Again, when we look at the human organism, which is constructed of what are essentially cellular biological oscillators, we see that the body can translate the information in the signal wave and transfer energy from the carrier wave through the same laws of physics applied to radio and television. These understandings are leading to controlled effects, where applied electromagnetic fields may influence or disrupt biological processes, emotions, and senses. Now, I know that's a mouthful, folks, and when the Dr. Preston Bailey mentioned that this is complex stuff. Well, he's not kidding. It is. Some of this material, obviously, if you haven't had a college education in some of these fields, it's very difficult to grasp. But the point is, the science exists. Here's something from Dr. Robert Duncan's book, which I find interesting. It's horrible. But this is one of his side notes in the book called Simulated Rape and Sexual Humiliation Technique. This is some of the things that are done to people. A sweet young woman of Asian descent described her ordeal in this way. I'll be lying in a bed after a day of psychological abuse coupled with physical pains. The pulsing tinnitus like a phaser sound will become silent, and then I can hear a man's voice speaking to me. I then can feel him on top of me like a ghost. He then violates me over and over while telling me there is no way to stop him. I could actually feel him masturbate. It's difficult to describe. One doesn't have to be too creative to figure out how this trick is done. It is fairly standard practice during brainwashing to create altered personalities through the rape of mind, body, or both. Welcome to the United States of America. We are not allowed to talk about this. Most unfortunately, the psychological industry created a term for people like this woman, false memory syndrome. This is merely a play on words and a farce to understanding. The memories are real and created in real time. They're experiences from false physical events, which the brain cannot differentiate from physical reality since the sensory systems have been overridden. These, of course, are real crime, mind crimes and intentional. Some subjects of the Department of Defense/CIA experimentation actually believe the events were real, not just ghosts, as this woman did in the past. The CIA used alien masks during ritual renditions so as to misdirect the hatred as well as satanic cult rituals, obviously named appropriately. People have always wondered why aliens travel across the galaxy to Earth just to anal probe their abduction subjects. This is a standard way to induce trauma for these behavior modification experiments. And, of course, we know that, well, there are real spirits, and this whole area can get very confusing. But, you know, he addresses these issues, and much more than that. So anyway, I wanted to throw that out there, Doctor, just some of the things kind of confirming what you're saying. And now what do you do? What do you do? You're in this situation. What do you do as an individual? You say, I want to get this stuff removed. I mean,
yes. What you read is exactly correct. If people want more information online, they can go to the website stopthecrime.net, stopthecrime.net. One article I wrote about psychotronic weapons is on there with a number of others. And on that website, they also have different things you can do, and it tells about different aspects of it. But to answer your question, what you can do is some people, right after birth, they do put a implant in to them somewhere. That makes it easier to track them and find out where they go. And actually, this happened a number of years ago in a person who was a quadriplegic. They actually put a chip in their head, and believe it or not, simply by thought of the man who was quadriplegic, he could actually control a computer that was in front of him, and he could operate different objects that was in his room, such as the radio or lights or the computer. He could actually type on the screen using his mind. So if anybody doesn't believe this kind of thing, this was, I remember this was probably at least 5 or 6 years ago. This was an actual scientific project that was completed. So this is the power of chips. In fact, there is an actual program now that New World Order organizations use. And they can actually read the mind of an individual. Now, this is not conspiracy theory. It's conspiracy fact. You can document this many different places. But what happens is the signal is sent to the person's brain that they have their brain wave signature, or even an implant in the body. They can actually scan the brain waves of the brain, and instantly those brain waves will be sent to the satellite, which is sent to the receiver connected to the computer, and they have a software that contains, they focus on vocabulary, and they will print, they will type on the screen the actual thoughts of an individual.
Wow.
That is real time. I have documented this in one of my presentations.
Wow.
So this is how advanced they are right now. There are some, I was talking to someone recently, and they had an implant taken out. There's actually a Christian doctor who feels it's his calling to take these implants out. And you can, I don't recall what his name is, but you can search online for a surgical removal of implants, and you can find his name.
And actually, I believe I know who you're talking about, because I believe he was interviewed by Ali Marzulli on several of his Watchers DVDs. Is this
yes.
the same guy?
Yes, I believe so.
Yes. So I'm looking up his name now so I can throw it out there, and we'll come back to that. But yes, definitely.
But it's very difficult to stop the scanning of the brain.
Mm.
Now, just in case one of your listeners gets the harebrained idea of making an aluminum foil cone-shaped hat, one of the Ivy League schools actually did a study on that.
Mm.
And they
really?
Determined if people wear a tinfoil hat on their head, it actually acts like an antenna and increases the connectivity of these electromagnetic signals.
Oh, my gosh.
So it goes from bad to worse. So under no circumstances, go out and make an aluminum foil hat and put it on your head, because it will amplify these signals. And, of course, that's not counting that everybody who looks at you thinks you're brain dead. but don't wear a aluminum foil hat. Now, there is a way to stop these signals. And you have to build either a Tesla cage around you. Very simply, a Tesla cage is nothing but chicken wire. And it also stops electromagnetic pulses, whether it's from the sun or from a bomb, B-O-M-B. What a Tesla cage is, very simply, is, let's just say for the sake of argument, you choose one room in your house, like you have an office or something. If you could build, now most people can't do this now, but if you're going to build a room just above the drywall, you just put chicken wire all over the ceiling, and then you put behind the drywall of all four walls, you put chicken wire, and you connect them at every edge so they're connected. Then if they send any signals, it is, when it hits the chicken wire, it spreads out, and it's diluted so that it won't connect to you.
Interesting. I believe what you're describing is called a Faraday cage, if I'm correct.
Yes. It is called a Faraday cage or a Tesla cage.
Yeah. And yeah, interesting.
In fact, on battleships, the most sensitive equipment, they surround it with a Faraday cage. A Faraday cage is actually a solid metal cage that surrounds an object, whether it's inside of a building. What most businesses don't understand is they pay millions of dollars a year to have a backup storage on servers, data servers, of all of their customers' data.
Huh.
What they don't realize is that those servers are not they're not built around a Faraday cage or a Tesla cage.
Interesting.
So in case of electromagnetic pulse bomb, all of their data will be lost, even though it's at a backup server.
Okay. Well, so that's really a lot of information. Unfortunately, it's kind of difficult, Doctor, for people to, I guess, build these Faraday cages around their house. I mean, this is not exactly the easiest thing to do.
I'm not saying build it around your house. I'm saying
build
it in one room in your house.
And you know, all I can say to that, folks, is that desperate times call for desperate measures. Here's the other thing. Coming back to that gentleman, his name is Dr. Lear. That was the name that we were talking about before that does implant removal, Dr. Roger Lear. So, listener, if you get a hold of this program and you reach out and try to contact this gentleman, I'm sure there will be some help on the other end. And so before we move on, was there anything else you wanted to add, or can we get to another question here?
That's all I wanted to add right now.
All right. Okay. Now, here's a question. For those that have been traumatized, say, through heavy trauma to cause dissociation and personality splits in them, through ritual abuse, they've been subjected to different kinds of horrible rituals, there is going to be blood trauma involved. There's going to be animal sacrifices at times. Certain cults will even use human sacrifices if they have access to them. So the blood is really a traumatic thing. And for these people, well, you introduce them to the blood of Jesus, there can be some resistance to that message, some, you know, it's just like built in. It's like, that disgusts me, the idea of the blood of Jesus. How do you, I guess, encourage people on this issue, when you know there is a built-in resistance to the blood of Jesus.
Yes, the I treat it as two separate things. When the people I counsel are most of the time ritually abused. So when they hear the name of Jesus, they are actually re-traumatized. In fact, I counseled a woman this week who had anti-Jesus programming, and a person dressed up and pretended to be Jesus and abused, I'll just say generically, abused a bunch of these children.
Mm-hmm.
And he would sing you know, Jesus loves me. Jesus loves all the children of the world, and he would abuse the child. So they were traumatized by the name Jesus. Now, let me say this. Every name in the Bible has very significant meaning.
Mm-hmm.
Every name. The name Jesus simply refers to the humanity of Jesus. Now, the phrase "in the name of Jesus" is a legal term. So the word Jesus refers to the humanity of Jesus, that he was come in the flesh, and the phrase "in the name of Jesus" is simply a legal term referring to his to the power of attorney of a Christian. So even though people end their prayer "in the name of Jesus, amen," all that means is, by the delegated authority of the Lord Jesus Christ, amen means so be it. So that's just simply a legal power of attorney. So there is over 300 names of Jesus in the Bible. There's over 1,000 names for God in the Bible, and you can use any one of them. Now, the problem in Revelation 12:10, it says, "And they overcame Satan by the blood of the Lamb." That is what can cause a problem for people with dissociative identity disorder caused by satanic ritual abuse, because it immediately triggers them. So there is, I've counseled with many people who have gone to a ritual in a major so-called Christian religious site in the world, and inside of this church building proper, there is a pool, and the pool is filled with water, and they get a lamb, and they kill the lamb in front of the child, usually a group of children, and then they, after they kill the lamb, they get all of the blood and put it in the pool of water. They cut the skin off of the lamb, and they make the child stand in the bloody water, and they get the lamb skin and that's covered in blood and wrap it around the child, and they immerse the child with this lamb skin on.
Wow.
And they say, "I baptize you by the blood of the lamb." And they do this specifically to traumatize them when Christians talk about the blood of the Lamb. So my response is simply this. There's nothing magical about the name Jesus by itself, and there's nothing magical about the phrase "the blood of the Lamb." The power is in the person of Christ. The power is in God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. So when the person needs counsel on something, I pray that the wonderful counselor would speak to the person. When they need healing, I ask that the great physician would speak to them. And the And the phrase that Satan hates is the true Lord Jesus Christ. Now, again, each name for Jesus in the Bible, Old and New Testament, has a very specific meaning.
Okay.
For example, the Lord Jesus Christ literally means this. The word Lord, master, owner, controller, it means Jesus who is the Lord, master, or control of everything in the life, who humbled himself as a human, Jesus, is now the Messiah, the Exalted One, Christ, Christos. So that's what Lord Jesus Christ means. So the phrase Lord Jesus Christ actually has very powerful significance and meaning.
So basically, to sum it up, you acknowledge the fact that there is a specific trauma that will tie the person to a disdain for the blood of Jesus, and then use alternative terminology as you're counseling
yes,
them?
Yes. Uh-huh. That's all. And any word I use is from the Bible.
Sure.
And why re-traumatize a person unnecessarily?
Sure.
And the Bible says there is only one God, right?
Mm-hmm.
God in three persons, Blessed Trinity. Even though there's over 1,000 names for God in the Bible, it's all referring to the same person.
Sure.
So in order to not re-traumatize them, it's usually the blood of the Lamb and Jesus by itself. So there's many different combinations or names in the Bible that's just as powerful that we can use when we pray for anybody, especially those who were ritually abused or traumatized. And the results are the same from God. It's the same God that performs the miracle in their life and brings healing. Many people who are victims of satanic ritual abuse, it's a miracle they go to church at all, but most of them go to church and become Christians. But even though they're Christians, many times during communion or the Lord's Supper, it traumatizes them and they run out of the church. It has nothing to do with what the pastor says. There is the unholy communion where at every satanic ritual, they have a chalice. They use wine, human urine in there, and everybody, and they put blood in there. So there has to be a sacrifice where they get the blood. So it's passed around, and everyone has to drink.
So gross.
The chalice. Yes. So
gross.
And so, whenever at church on Sunday they mention the Lord's Supper, unfortunately, it can often re-traumatize them so bad they may just shake all over and bow their head and become in a dissociative state, or I've known many times they actually run out of the service.
Wow.
So the only way really to stop that is to find the altars that are traumatized by that and ask God to heal them and then integrate them into the person. So that doesn't happen.
Powerful. All right. Thank you so much for the answer to that question. Now, I want to move in a slightly different direction here, and looks like we have a caller. If you want to ask a question, just hit the one key on your phone, and I'll bring you live on the program. But I want to get into systems, Doctor, because I think this is something that's very important to understand about this whole thing, is that, well, when trauma happens, and it's not just any kind of trauma, maximal trauma, and in the first program, you took us through your dissociative continuum, how there is a scale of 1 to 10, and only when a person gets to 10, maximal trauma, does a full splitting of a personality into a totally separate dissociative state occur. Now, as far as my research has shown, when this happens, multiple alters are being created every time a split happens, from the initial splitting of the person's core and then down the road, every time there's more trauma, more splits, more trauma, more splits. You have all of these fragments of the person, and these fragments, then they are receiving an identity from their programmers and so forth. But they don't just leave these separate fragments any such place. That these programmers, crooks, you know, that what they're doing is they're organizing all of these fragments into a system. So I want to give you a chance to kind of explain systems, your experience with working with systems, and what that means for an individual.
Okay. Each system, each person has a differently designed system. A system is the structure that the programmer designs for that specific individual in which can house the design of the alters within that system for its maximum control, that the cult can control them, and to make it more effective in carrying out the responsibilities for the cult. Now, a person may have many different systems. For example, I talked to a woman this week that had 13 systems. Hmm. But each system is designed differently. Let me give you what's easy to understand. A woman I counseled who had dissociative identity disorder by satanic ritual abuse. What happened was her father, her birth father, was a Satanist, and he was a satanic high priest. Her stepfather, her mother divorced him. Her stepfather was a Santeros, a Santeria high priest. So every other week, they went back and forth. So she had four different systems. One system was a satanic system with all of the different names that related to satanic systems, such as Baphomet, which is the goat head deity. So she had 110 personalities of the satanic system. Then she had 110 personalities in the Santeria system, and had an alter or personality in that system each related to different aspects of Santeria, such as the seven Orishas, or the seven deities of Santeria. But everything related to Santeria, there was 110 altars in that system. Then she had a system of 110 demons. So all of these were the names of demons that attacked her and controlled her. And then she had 110, another system called the D system, and every altar was named beginning with a D, like Donna, Diane, etc.
Mm-hmm.
But all of the D's was a Christian system. She was a Christian in spite of her father and the stepfather. So this was automatically, to cope with all of this trauma and abuse, she automatically created 110 personalities that were Christians that helped her fight all of these forces of evil. It was really interesting. So what I would do is I would give her a lesson for the week that she needed to teach each of her four systems. And I would assign a specific task to the Bible teachers in her D system that were Christians, and I would assign, she had a total of 440 altars. I would divide those up into close to 20. So each approximately 20 altars would be taught by a Bible teacher inside one of her altars on a specific subject. Like I would say, this week I want you to teach a study on grace. Mm-hmm. So I may give her a printout of the verses related to grace, and a specific number of Bible teachers in the Christian D system would teach all of the altars that week about grace. Then the next week it would be something else. So then whatever 440 divided by 20 is, that's the number of altars, and they would all sign a piece of paper, and each of those altars that would do the Bible study would sign their name in a different colored ink pen. So she would carry with her a bag of colored ink pens and 22 Christian altars who would do the teaching would sign this piece of paper that they would teach that study that week to all of her altars. Now, what do you think of that?
I think this is going to go over some people's head, Doctor. And folks, this is the important thing to understand is when we're talking about this, it's for a reason. We're trying to expose the fact that, you know, some people have had things done to them such that you're not dealing with demons when you're meeting Sue and Frank and Jeff and all these other persons on the inside of them that can manifest different forms of consciousness besides the base personality maybe you met the first time you talked to this person. This is really going on inside of these individuals, and there is a real process of healing that needs to take place. And along the road, we need to be aware and we need to be sensitive to the fact that, there is a process. We can't just refuse somebody our friendship or our help because they may have the ability to sign in different ink colors, all in different handwriting, like you were explaining that you had them do for this thing. People,
now,
we need. Oh, go ahead.
Now, by the way, her birth father was in the state legislature.
Oh my gosh.
He was so evil. Some of her altars were created. He had a ranch. He would get a horse and kill it and cut out the inside of the horse. And when she was like 5 years old, he sewed her inside and left enough area to breathe, and kept her there for 24 hours so that causes dissociation. So she created some of the personalities in that traumatic thing. But this is a state legislator. Isn't this horrible?
It's so the worst.
Many people that we actually elect to Congress and the Senate are Satanists or one of the other New World organizations. In fact, I counseled three different women from three different states who did not know each other. And they gave me the home address and phone number, and they went in detail about the abuse of this famous senator.
Well, I'll tell you what, folks, if you've read books like Transformation of America or Thanks for the Memories, these two books, and of the two I recommend more, it would be Thanks for the Memories by Bryce Taylor, a.k.a. Susan Ford. You will find that their testimonies detail the involvement of high-ranking government officials, including up and into certain U.S. presidents. And so, all I can do is take the information and say, does the evidence warrant the conclusions? And frankly, I believe the answer in these cases is yes. I have a question from my chat room, Doctor, by the way. Is this person you've been referring to still a U.S. senator?
No.
Okay. All right.
But there are active senators and congressmen now that are in a New World Order organization. In fact, we have had a number of presidents that are in the New World Order. And if they weren't, usually they were directly controlled by people in the New World Order. In fact, it's been for approximately the last 30 years at least, the New World Order organizations have picked every president.
Wow.
And in fact, I am I'm a frequent speaker at the Save America Foundation, which encourages people to return back to the Constitution and get out of debt.
Mm-hmm.
And what many, it's a patriotic organization, they stand against government corruption, and there's a whole lot of corruption in government. In fact, a woman who was a high-ranking leader in the Justice Department one day after one of my meetings I spoke at. She said, if American citizens knew the corruption, the degree of corruption among the Democrats and the Republicans, they would fire all of them and start all over again.
Wow.
But there's actually groups who meet and decide who the president will be. One of my friends at the Save America Foundation is one of the leading experts in the United States on voter fraud.
Yes.
And he has people that work for him have spoken before Congress before. So he knows all about voter fraud. And he said that the last election was filled with voter fraud. Actually, every election is filled with voter fraud, but the last election was really horrendous. And he tells exactly how you can change any election very simply. And, you know, what he says is once you understand the few simple ways that he teaches, it's very easy to change any election, even a local election to the president. He said there's only one way to overcome that. He said this has already gone to the United States Supreme Court, and the Supreme Court has ruled that the counting of every ballot in the United States needs to be done in public.
Oh, gosh.
But this is already the law of the land, but very few precincts actually count the votes in public.
Yeah.
He said you should not use computers because computers are very easy to defraud.
And I think that, and I've said this for a long time, and I think others have caught on to this as well. When John Kerry ran against George Bush Jr., and there was a negative, I believe, vote in one of the Florida districts. I mean, like, how do you get a negative vote unless your corruption didn't pan out the way you planned it to? I mean, that just, to me, it's made no sense, threw up all kinds of red flags. Later on, went and saw a documentary about the same thing you're talking about, black box voting and how it can be manipulated. And it's just a really, really sad fact about our current situation in this country.
Yes.
End of the free, home of the brave.
So each system is designed based on the skills of that specific person that this cult group or secret organization group wants, has for that person. Each person has a different job. For example, one person may work for the government in a specific capacity, so that person, without even realizing it, would do things for the New World Order in that government position. And they would work behind the scenes, whether it was just a local level or even the President of the United States. They would do, and everyone in between, they would do specific jobs, oftentimes without remembering it, which is the nature of programming. Or a person may be an assassin, Delta programming. A woman came to my office one day to assassinate me, and God miraculously prevented her. But she said, I admit I'm a transgenerational Satanist, is what she said, and I was programmed from birth to be an assassin And she said, I'm very good at the job. And she explained how she does the job. But her system is based solely on killing people the most effective way. So each person's system is unique based on what their job is.
Thank you for that. And there's so much to the discussion of systems, and I'm sure we're going to be coming back to this because this is where I guess you could say a lot of the quote-unquote magic happens. As a matter of fact, this is interesting. Can you speak about and we had talked about this before, Bailey's Mansion. Now, do you feel like you want to talk about that now, or should I move on to a different topic?
No, I can talk about that. What happened was
okay.
many years ago, I developed a system of counseling people with SRADAD, in which, based on the Gospel of John, that says, "In my Father's house are many mansions." So what I would do is I would pray that God would create a mansion inside this person, because the altars are often in a semi-chaotic place inside. So I wanted to bring order. 1 Corinthians 14, God is a God of order.
Mm-hmm.
So I prayed that God would create a mansion. I would ask the person what their mansion looked like, and each person was different. I wanted to be compatible to their value and belief system. So I pray that God would create a mansion inside so that all of the altars could be in there, and I prayed that God would transfer all of the altars inside of this mansion, and that there would be a room for everything inside, including a nursery for baby altars and a room for everything, including a counseling room. So I would have a big, like, banquet room where I would pray that all the altars would go in there, and then I would say, God, I pray that all of the altars that have a similar issue, that they would, like, for example, fear, I pray that God would send angels to take all those altars with a similar issue and put them in the counseling room. So then I would pray that the wonderful counselor would speak to them, and God would speak to them, and he would talk to them and tell them about their issues, and then the host person would tell me what Jesus said, and I would write that in a list. So when the wonderful counselor was done with them, I would have the person and all of those altars renounce this list of things, and I would ask God then I would ask the great physician to take away their pain and heal them, cleanse them of any evil, and fill every empty place with the fruit of the Spirit, and then I would have God integrate them all into one.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, some altars are very resistant, just like humans, so I would put them in a separate room. And it worked very effectively for a number of years. But then what happened is, one day I counseled a woman, and she told me about the Bailey system, which was me. And what they did is, the occult created a counter to my counseling technique. So what happened was, when you prayed for a mansion to be created in the person, what actually happened was they, like a yin and a yang programming process, they created a dark mansion, an evil mansion,
Oh my.
And so that didn't work anymore, you see.
When you told me that, I said, oh my gosh. Because, you know, here's the thing that I think it should be important to be pointed out. If a counselor is dealing with an individual that is actively being accessed, it's almost the counselor versus the handlers. And we talked about handlers in the first episode of this series and what their role is in the life of a programmed multiple. But, this thing, it really gets complicated. And, you know, you think you're onto something. I can only imagine what went through your head when this news came back to you.
Yeah, I was, I had a mixture of disappointment and anger and everything in between. But that's fine. God stretches me through the years, so I found another way to deal with them. And so God wants to increase our knowledge.
Amen.
God's able to meet our needs. So
that's right, Doctor. We have about 15 minutes left for this installment of this, and I want to move off of systems for a little bit, knowing that we are going to come back, and as other questions come in, they get in my email between now and the next time we do a show, and whatever else have you, you know, we'll get to those. I want to start talking about some of the projects that have contributed to the military side of mind control. And I know that you are familiar with a lot of these. And so going way back, and I think this is really into the 50s, there was something known as Project Artichoke. And what is there about this particular project that you are aware of, particularly in its applications to the topic of mind control?
Yes, there is many different projects that the cult have developed through the years. One of them is Project Artichoke.
Mm-hmm.
Artichoke project, they call it a project. So this is a project that they've developed. So it took a while to develop it, and that's called a project.
Mm-hmm.
So each project has a different name. So Project Artichoke was a CIA project that they, through using a lot of different people, they found different interrogation methods, and it arose out of Project Bluebird, and it studied, it used hypnosis and morphine, an addiction to morphine, and other drugs in order to produce amnesia. It was a mind control program that gathered information together for the U.S. Army, the Navy, the Air Force, and the FBI. And the purpose was to do things against the will of the individual. It was, they used a lot of LSD, for example, and they had voluntary or involuntary patients. They may do the research on people in the military or people in prison.
Mm-hmm.
Part of Project Artichoke, people may remember the movie The Men Who Stare at Goats.
Okay.
So some famous actors were in this recently, but the whole movie was actually centered around Project Artichoke, even though they didn't specifically come out and say it. Notice they would stare at goats and thought they could immobilize them. That's part of Project Artichoke.
Interesting. Yeah, and I never saw that movie, but
it's George Clooney was in it.
Uh-huh.
And a group of misfits who were in the army, I believe, and they went around as a part of Project Artichoke. But this is an offshoot of Project Bluebird, which was far more significant.
Okay.
Project Bluebird has been studied extensively, and it was mainly had four purposes. It was created deliberately into the person. They intentionally created dissociative identity disorder in the individual, they on purpose. They secondly created a new identity which was implanted in that personality that was intentionally created.
Mm.
And thirdly, which is the most important thing, they created amnesic barriers around each of the identities that were created for the purpose of hiding them from any individual who would even interrogate them.
Wow.
And fourthly, they were used to simulate actual operations that they would have. For example, they would create deliberately an altar like. Let's say they created Sergeant York.
Mm-hmm.
They would give him a whole detailed identity. They would create an amnesic barrier around him, and they would say, Sergeant York, we have this project of how people will respond to the loud sounds of this new tank. So we want you to tell us the effect of it. So they would put him out there near the tank and shoot it. And that specific altar alone would feel the effects of it. And then he would tell his handler exactly the result of that operation, you see.
Ah.
And what they do is they would even, let's say for the sake of argument, that let's just say they wanted to create a false flag event.
Mm-hmm.
Let's just say they wanted to create the false flag event of the runners killed in Boston before the event. So they would create a bunch of altars inside, and they would assign each of the altars a different role at the Boston Marathon. One would be a runner, one would be a mother, one would be a child, one would be a person who had their legs blown off, and all the different scenarios there. So then they would, the program would say, I want you to go ahead and analyze this and tell us the effect on everybody, and how can we modify this project to upset more people. And then the person who had undergone Operation Bluebird would analyze the data in a more human setting inside their mind. This is why they can't use a computer.
Wow.
And so they still use this. So when Congress years ago told them to stop it, what they did is they just went underground. So today people programmed with Project Bluebird, they have more sophisticated ways of creating amnesic barriers so that the person themselves would not be aware of it. Only the outside programmer or handler would be aware of this identity. And it's really a massive amnesia program that they use. And they use hypnosis especially and other means to create this.
Gotcha. Really interesting. Basically, in short, this is just one example, actually two, but focusing on Bluebird, one major example of how U.S. military has used the science and knowledge of dissociation to basically weaponize a person.
Yeah,
and,
right.
If you talk about the absolute lack of moral substance it requires of an individual to be involved in something like this, it's just mind-boggling, but yet there it is right in front of us. This has been not only used by cults that are sold out to evil, it's been institutionalized for military purposes. And like we were talking about before, Robert Duncan, he's detailed a lot of the ways in which our institutionalized defensive defense departments, including the Department of Defense, has used the manipulation of this subject, people, to really progress their own agendas in very evil and wicked ways, which is even more why this needs to be talked about. Because, between the military and the cults and any other groups and organizations that are doing this to people, how many people out there are struggling with some form of dissociation or mind control related to purposeful traumas that have been introduced into their lives? And
yes,
Doctor, it has to be large numbers by this point, since so many of these agendas, go back from far before I was born.
Yes, that's right. In fact, the famous book, The Manchurian Candidate, and later they made a movie based on this, is actually Project Bluebird, in which a group of American POWs in the Korean War were brainwashed using Operation Bluebird, and they crossed the border, and they were later used to target a candidate for the president of the United States. And that's what is used That's what many people think was used to kill President John F. Kennedy, a person programmed by Project Bluebird, and even Robert Kennedy and others. And I would venture to say that they were someone like this program was used to kill Andrew Breitbart.
Wow. And I think you're probably right, Doctor. It is so much. And even like the more recent shootings, all the stuff that made national news while other random shootings just didn't, you know. It seems that this is used for agenda purposes as well, false flag operations. I mean, the implications and usefulness of this, dare I call it science, for evil and wicked agendas and people that just have no good intention on the inside of them but want power, I mean, are almost inexhaustible. But we're out of time, Doctor, so I want to thank you so much for joining us for this episode. We're going to be coming back to this, folks. In the meantime, if you have questions that you want us to bring up on the next program, talking points, things you want to know about, email me at bridemovement@gmail.com. That's bridemovement@gmail.com. And I'll be sure to bring those questions up on the next program. We'll definitely still have plenty to talk about. There's so much to this issue. But until next time, our guest website, www.spiritualwarfarecenter.com. Dr. Bailey, thank you so much again for joining us.
Thank you.
And folks, you have a wonderful evening. This has been Discovering the Truth with Dan Paul.